and guests, stand and sing that great song with us. I heard an old, old story.
I heard an old, old story.
Amen. What a blessing. Good to see y'all today. Are y'all glad that the sun is shining today? Amen. It'll be raining in the morning. I'm just kidding. I don't know what the weather's going to do tomorrow. But it is a beautiful day, and it's good to see y'all. Today is a special service. Today we have a combined cemetery memorial service and a worship service together at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We couldn't have it last year due to COVID, but we're back on track again this year. And this has been something that's had continuity since the very beginning, pretty much the beginning stages of our church here. At Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. And so today, before we get started, I want to open with a prayer. If you're visiting with us today, we are glad you're here. And I hope that if you're visiting, just to come visit Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. And if you wanted some information, we have a yellow folder that looks like this right here. And if you got one of these, if you didn't, you can look in the chair in front of you, and there's a card that you can fill out and fill that out. And that'll give us a record of your visit. And if you'll just place that in the offering plate here in a little bit, we'd appreciate that. If not, see an usher. They've got the brass tags after the service. They'd be glad to give you one of these, and it tells you a little bit about our church here at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. Let's go ahead and open up with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence today. Lord, we singing O Victory in Jesus in these songs, Lord, it just reminds us of who you are, your presence, your goodness, your love, your mercy. And God, that's what we ask for today. Father, we ask for your comfort. We ask for your presence. Lord, that you would draw each of our hearts individually. Father, we thank you for those that are here today, Lord, in memory of a loved one or in honor of the cemetery across the road, the Mount Sylvan Baptist Church Cemetery. Father, it's amazing just counting yesterday, if my count is right, just over the last 10 years, we've had 61 people right here in this church that have passed away, with a big majority of those are buried across the road. And Father, we just come today to honor that memory and their lives and the faith that they exhibited in their life and how we are who we are today because of the life that they lived. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you this morning that if you have any family members that are buried in the Mount Sylvan Baptist Church Cemetery across the road, if you'd please stand so that we can recognize those families. Amen. It's amazing that if you ever have time and you just like to walk through cemeteries. I went through this one across the road the other day, and it's amazing at the memories that come to your mind as you read the tombstones and you see the people that you've fellowshipped with and worshiped with for many times, and then you realize that they are now in heaven in the absolute best worship service that they can ever imagine. We're just down here trying to reflect what they get to do in perfection. And so what a blessing that is. Is Bella Canella here today? I don't see a Bella Canella. I'll be Bella Canella today, if y'all don't mind. It's good to see y'all. I want to ask Colton Stone, if you don't mind, if Colton would come up and handle our roses in memory. We've got a few names, and they're on your memoriam, on your bulletin that's within the bulletin, or program within the bulletin. And these at the bottom. And Colton Stone is going to place a vase with a rose in it in memory of each one of these. If by chance, when I call a name, if by chance that happens to be one of your family members, would you just please stand whenever Colton puts the rose on the communion table? Robert Patrick. I know we have some Patricks here today. Amen. Thank y'all for being here today. Miss Orla Ann Tomlin. Have anybody representing the Tomlins? Carol Lynn Johnson. Kent, good to see y'all. Margaret Peggy Smith. Okay. Billy Garrett. Mr. S.L. Allred, and Charlie Ray Rice. I know Charlie Ray just passed away very recently, and so our prayers with Lynn McKinney and Randy and all of, and Lindsay and all the family, as well as with Kent and his family today, and the others. It's good to see y'all today. Thank you so much, Colton. Quick prayer. Father, we come to you, Lord, and as we read these names, Lord, our hearts are drawn to the people, to the person. And Father, we just pray for the families that are here today representing their loved ones. And God, we pray a special comfort for them today, Lord, as this is a time to remember those that have passed and the cemetery, but at the same time, it can be a difficult day for those who have recently lost loved ones. So God, we just ask a special prayer for them today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, you're in for a special treat today. From the Johnson family, Kent's grandchildren, Austin and Emily, are going to share with us in song. Thank you all for being here.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, and not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my life, and be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word, and I ever with thee. Is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's shores, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befalls, still be my vision, oh,
y'all. That was awesome. I appreciate that very much. It is great to see you all here today. I know we've got some folks in the Skype rooms out there, a few of them probably, and we got some folks on Facebook Live that always join us. It's time to fist bump somebody or howdy from a distance. Stand and greet those around you.
Bye. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to your throne of grace this morning. We're so thankful. We're so thankful and grateful for who you are, for what you've done for us, for what you do for us each day. Father, we just give you the honor and glory and praise for every bit of it. Father, we're thankful this morning that we can join together with our neighbor church as we celebrate lives who have gone on before. Lives who have honored you, our lives who have given their lives for you, they have lived for you. And we pray, Father, that their legacy might live on in us and in our children as we look back, that we'll know that they honored you and that we deserve, that you deserve our honor as well. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for these lives. Father, we honor them today. Father, we just thank you for everyone who is here today, who is visiting. We thank you for our visitors, and we ask that they might leave, saying that it's been good to be here. Father, even more than that, we pray that if there's one in this congregation that does not know you as personal Savior, they can know you today. They can give their lives to you. Father, just pray that something is said today that might touch their heart, and even more than that, your Holy Spirit might convict them. They might come to know you as personal Savior. Again, we thank you for all the bounty you've given us. Father, we thank you that you give us this privilege to give just a little bit of it back. So this morning as we take our offerings, we pray that you will honor them. And Father, that you will bless every gift and every giver. For it's in Christ's precious holy name I pray. Amen.
And I will never
I thought Kevin left that there for me to lead some singing. What a blessing. The song that y'all just sang literally sums up the scriptures that we're looking at today in Colossians. We'll be in Colossians chapter 1 if you're able to stand for the reading of God's word. I want to start in verse 13, although we're going to kind of concentrate on verses 15 through 20. But I want you to see the connection that is made. And also, I want to encourage you, I hope that you're hungry today, because there's chicken spaghetti and some other stuff that has been made. The fellowship hall tables are set up and the tables are decorated, and we would love for you to stay for a good chicken, how do you say it? Chicken spaghetti dinner. It's going to be good, and there's no checks within that spaghetti. All right, look at Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 13, and the title of the message today is Hope Beyond the Grave. The Bible says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And this is a powerful word right here, and conveyed, your scriptures may say transferred or translated, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now watch this, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, our principalities, our powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He was there in Genesis 1 at creation. Verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who, Lord, because of His love and His rich mercy, had a plan from the foundation of the world, to leave Shekinah glory, to leave heaven, come to earth, and to redeem us sinners because he loves us and he wants to spend eternity with us, revealing himself. And God, we pray this morning that you'd help us to see the hope beyond the grave. In Jesus' name, amen. The scriptures that we're looking at right here are really rich. There's been a lot of books written about these scriptures. A lot of sermons have been preached over these scriptures. They're very deep. There's just no way in a few minutes that we can even hardly scratch the surface of the magnitude of these scriptures. By the way, I want to share something that's very neat. When you see Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20, scholars across the board, based on the language use and some other things, have all agreed that this is a hymn that was also sang by the early church. And so when we're looking at these scriptures and we get to verses 15 to 20, however it was arranged, and there are several speculations on the arrangement of the hymn, you're literally seeing what the early church used to sing. Remember, they didn't have the printing press. They didn't have copy machines like we have today. Back in their day, much of what they learned doctrinal that was written in the Pentateuch or any scriptures that had been revealed in the prophets, things of that nature, they learned it through hymns and through songs so that they could continue to teach it to their generations and to their children. And so you're seeing a very powerful group of verses that tell us about Jesus. Because when we think about Jesus, for them, remember, some of them had a grandpa, or maybe they're old enough to remember, and when Jesus died on the cross. And so they were having to digest the fact that this man that just recently walked on this earth in a physical form was so much more than just a man. That this man was the Savior, the Redeemer of the world. And so when we think about the cemetery, and we think about our loved ones that have been buried and our loved ones that have passed before us, and we know that they are believers. When we think about that, hope is to resonate within our heart. Sure, there'll be grief and there'll be loss and there'll be sorrow, but there's also a hope that instilled our heart when we became believers in Jesus Christ, and it is that hope that helps us to rejoice in knowing where our loved ones that have already passed, knowing where they are. Matter of fact, in a lot of ways, we're jealous of them because they're enjoying what we look forward to. They're removed from all the pains. No more backaches, heartaches, no more gallstones, kidney stones, no more knees messing up, backs going out, migraine, headaches, none of that. It's all gone. But for us, we still have hips that want to pop out of joint and shoulders and elbows. We're all messed up down here. When our loved ones in heaven, if they could see us, that's what they'd say. They'd say, y'all are just all messed up. Your bodies are all messed up. And wait till you get here. Everything gets repaired. Everything gets fixed in heaven. And that's what we look forward to. I got four things I want to point out pretty briefly. And it's this. Christ is our hope beyond the grave because of, number one, his relationship to the Father. His relationship to the Father. You want to see your prayers come alive, always remember that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he is from everlasting, that he was the Word that became flesh. That's very important. Now look at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now stop right there. What does it mean, he is the image of the invisible God? Well, this morning, when I was getting ready for church, I don't have to do my hair. It's just what it is. Teresa does. Teresa's mirror gets used a lot more than my mirror. Every now and then, I look at my mirror just to know I'm still alive. But when I look in the mirror, I see an image. When you look in the mirror, you see an image. You see a reflection of who you are. Now, this is real important because Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was manifested for us. Jesus Christ is the Word that became flesh. Jesus Christ, when he was asked in John chapter 14, show us the Father. Jesus said in John 14, 9, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Think about that. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I love Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, says it like this. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image, your scripture may say radiance, the express radiance or reflection of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, that's his connection to creation, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, hope beyond the grave, remember this, when your loved one or when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have a relationship to the Father. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Isn't that a beautiful verse? He was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. When you hear the term accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're accepting and believing that the Father exists in the Son and that the Son exists in the Father. You're accepting and believing that the Holy Spirit exists in the Son and the Holy Spirit exists in the Father. Now try to explain that, and it gets difficult. But that's the Trinity. That's the triune God. Colossians 2:10 says that we are complete in Him. We're totally completed by salvation in Jesus and relating to the Father. It's interesting that the word that is used, look at verse 13. He says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, darkness has a power. Matter of fact, darkness has a little g god. Who is that? It's Satan. Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the, there's two families according to Scripture. There's the family of God, and there's the family of Satan. And John chapter 8, verse 44, brings out that distinction beautifully, if you want to write that down for a reference. But he says that it is this God, and it happened, by the way, in verse 20, by the blood of his cross, it is this God that delivers us from the power of darkness. Therefore, death has lost its sting. Therefore, the grave can have no victory in a believer. That's why we say that a grave is just an open end for the believer. Now you say, I'm confused by what happens. I'm confused because we lay the body in the grave, but where is the person? Where is the person? Well, Jesus said something very profound whenever he raised Lazarus from the dead. Remember, Martha is all worried and she says, I believe the resurrection that's coming in that day. She looked at the resurrection as a doctrinal statement, as a teaching, as something doctrinal, which it is. But Jesus took her from the doctrinal to the personal. Remember what Jesus said? He's saying, basically, he looked at her and said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Me. I'm the resurrection. And so here's Martha getting an understanding. Wait a minute. I've always believed and been taught the resurrection and that it'll take place in that day. And Jesus is saying, yeah, I'm the author of that. I'm the one who created that. I'm the one who came and makes that a reality. I'm the one who came to show you that you need me, that I'm your resurrection. And Jesus says, it's very simple for me. For me, it's as simple as this. He walks up to the grave, Lazarus, come forth. And out comes Lazarus, all wrapped up in grave clothes. What was he showing? He's showing that he is God and that he has the ability to raise the dead. Now it gets even better than that, because that was before the cross and the resurrection when that happened. But after the cross and resurrection, now that he has ascended on high, it gets even better. Because the Bible teaches that prior to the cross, those who believed by faith, they went to Hades, the place of comfort. And those who didn't believe in Christ went to the place of suffering. But after Jesus went into heaven, he became the first fruits, so that when you and I die, guess what? By the way, he led captivity captive. There's a great throne that went to heaven after Jesus ascended. But guess what happens to you and I? We don't go to the grave. Our body does. We go straight to be with the Lord. Then the next question is, well, if my body is in the grave, am I just a spirit or a soul floating around in heaven? A bodiless spirit? God created humanity with a body, soul, and a spirit. Now, that body that's laying in the grave, God's not going to let the one, in verse 13, who had the power of darkness have it. Remember when when the devil disputed over the body of Moses? God's not going to let the devil have it. So when you die, you have a building from God not made with hands. You do have some type of glorified body. I don't know what it looks like, but you're not just a little soul floating around in heaven, bumping into other little souls floating around in heaven. Because that's not how God created you. But then there's going to happen one day, something real unique. Now, God could have resurrected that body that very instant that we die. He could do that, had he chosen to, but he's going to make it a celebration. And I mean, it's going to make the devil set on attack when this happens. Because right now, these folks in their glorified bodies that are in heaven, your loved ones that are in heaven, and you say, well, that just don't make sense. Well, we get to see a little bit of a glimpse of that when Moses and Elijah were at the Mount of Transfiguration. Were they just bodiless subjects? Now, we know that one was taken and one was buried by God. So you've got one that was buried by God, but yet he's got a body of some sort when he appears at the Mount of Transfiguration. So now let's go back to our thinking. There's the body laying in the grave. There's the person in heaven with the Lord in a glorified building not made with hands with the Lord. But here's this corruptible that one day is going to put on incorruption. So Satan don't even get the body. He can't win nowhere. In fact, he won't even win with creation. That's why Romans says that even creation groans earnestly looking for its new habitation. And you're thinking, if you don't hurry, how are we going to get through the next 3 points? Just like this. The second one is his relationship to creation. The third one is his relationship to the church. And the fourth one is his relationship to the cross, because we're going to connect all this together. His relationship to creation was the second one. His relationship to the church is the third one. That's verses 18 and 19. And then the fourth one is his relationship to the cross, which is verse 20. This is why we have hope beyond the grave, because of the relationship Christ has to the Father and that we have to Christ. Because of the relationship that Christ has to creation. He is the resurrection. Because of the relationship that Christ has to the church. He is the head of the church. Now, when we think of the church, oftentimes we think of the church. We think of the building, Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. But this isn't the church. This building, by far, is not the church. Now, this is the house that we come to corporately gather. But that sheetrock and that brick, that's not the church. Now, we call it the church. I went to church today. You know what the church is? The church is you. The church is those that have been born again, that have been blood-bought. And he says that he is the head of that church. That means you've been placed into a body of believers. I love it when Kevin leads us sometimes during welcome with, I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. That means that me and George Smith are brothers. Not biologically, but in Christ. Me and Ralph Page are brothers in Christ. I don't know what to do with Moody and Dwight. I think they're brothers somewhere, but we're brothers in Christ. You see how that works? And so we're a part of the family. Now, Jesus wants us to see that. You say that's very simple and it's very easy to understand, and it is. But it's very profound when you lose a loved one. Because when you lose a loved one, God didn't say, I didn't plan for that. you died, and I just didn't have a plan for that. That's why he shows us in the Bible that he is the resurrection. He had a plan for it. That's why he told Paul by revelation, he says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. That's why he can say in Psalms, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's why he can say, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Because there ain't none. I don't think you're supposed to say that word. There isn't none. And I was really trying, and y'all laughed. I was trying to get that right. And so there is hope beyond the grave. And you say, what about his relation to creation? How does that fit in? Look at verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. In other words, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. You don't have to complicate all that middle section. On the thrones and the dominions, the principalities and powers. It's real simple. What Paul's trying to say is if it exists because it's Christ. If it exists, whether it's angels, whether it's dominions or powers, whether it's in the invisible world, heaven and the heavenly places, or whether it's in the visible world, he's saying if it exists, Jesus Christ created it, and if Jesus Christ created it for his own glory, and then the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you are new creations, created in Jesus, the old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. He's saying you've been created also for his glory, and he holds you, he has you, and he's redeemed you. And one day, all of this earth, and we talked about it Wednesday night, everything that's been cursed by sin, the roses, these roses I don't think have a thorn on them. No. But you go over to those knockout roses over there and fall off in those things. And you'll feel that they've got thorns. That's because of the curse of sin. Now, Wednesday night we talked about this, and occasionally I bring it up because it's real important. Every time you get stung by a bull nettle, every time that you get a major headache or nauseated or sick or whatever it might be, or a kidney stone, whatever it is, what's it supposed to do? Every time a tornado goes through the air, every time we suffer, every time some evil happens in the world, what is that supposed to tell us? We're supposed to say, I need a Savior. I need a Redeemer. Every time I get stuck by a cactus, I need a Savior, because there wasn't no thorns prior to sin. Prior to Adam and Eve and their sin in the Garden of Eden, there was none of these things. There was no illness. Adam and Eve could have continued to live. There was none of that stuff. There was no death. They could have continued to live. But whenever they sinned, something innocent had to be sacrificed in the place of the guilty. And I personally believe that that was a lamb or a sheep of some sort in their day. And God killed the first animal that had to die, and he let the innocent die for the guilty as a picture of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would one day die on a cross out of love for you, your name alone. That's how great that love is. You can put your name in those verses of where he died because he loves you. And so he comes to this place, and Paul is saying he's before all things, and in him all things consist. He's the perfect image of the Father. When you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. He's the exact representation. And so when you see him, you say, well, does the Father look like Jesus did? I've never seen a picture of Jesus except for in a lot of churches hanging on the wall. We don't know what Jesus looked like. We have no idea. Now, how can he be the exact representation? Because Jesus took on a humanity to identify with us. But what made Jesus have that express image of God was not what he looked like on the outside as much as what it looked like on the inside. You see, when Jesus thought God. When Jesus decided God, because he was God. You see, you and I, our blood can be traced back to Adam and Eve, but not Jesus's. He was of immaculate conception, virgin born. You can't trace his blood the same way you trace our blood. He came to identify with men, yet he was God, so that he could take our place and take the penalty and the punishment that we deserved so that we could get out of this thing scot-free. That's where we are delivered from darkness, and conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love when we accept Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we have that relationship to the church, that Christ has a relationship to His church, that's to you. Now, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus alive today? Amen. He's alive. Jesus is not in a grave. Matter of fact, if He was in a grave, there's 10 million people in Israel that would have done found it, because they would love to find some bones. But you'll never find the bones of Jesus, because Jesus is in heaven. Now, that last step of what happens to the body after we die, the body goes into the grave. The person goes to be with the Lord instantly, from one breath to the next. The person has a glorified body, not made with hands, in heaven, built by the Lord. I don't know what it looks like, never been there. But that's what the Bible teaches. Then there's coming a celebration day at the day of the resurrection. And that's when Jesus comes back. And remember what happens? The Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who are alive and remain will meet them in the air. Now, here's what's interesting. 1 Corinthians teaches us that it's going to happen in the twinkle of an eye. Do you know how fast the twinkle of an eye is? I don't either, but it's pretty fast. In fact, I heard David Dykes one time try to put together a mathematical number for how fast the twinkle of an eye is, and it was so far out. It's so quick. It's quicker than that snap. That's how fast the twinkle of an eye is. At the same time, all these believers' bodies are going to come out of the grave, and at the same time, the person will be in a twinkle of an eye reunited with that new body that will last for all eternity. You see, the body that's in the ground is a seed of the incorruptible body that is to come. So there's your three steps of the body. It dies, goes in the grave. It's the seed waiting on its resurrection. The person went to be with the Lord. Okay? Second one is they're with the individual is with the Lord in some type of glorified body. The third one is one day they're coming back to get that old body back. Satan ain't going to get to keep it. Aren't you glad of that? We win. That's the joy of it. You know, I don't know if y'all have heard of Dr. A.T. Schofield. Lived years and years ago. Contributed a lot to medicine and as well as to theology. Loved the Lord. And lived in London and North Wales. And when he was a boy, the schools were not quite like they are today. A lot of places you went to the school and you had to stay there and live there for so many days. And he shows up at school on his first day, and he goes, and it's right by the river, and he goes into this little two-story house that he's staying in. And he goes upstairs and he meets the new friend that he will be staying with upstairs that's also going to school. And so A.T. Schofield gets up there, and he puts his stuff down, and the young man that's there in the room says, by chance, are you a Christian? Now, they talked in that other kind of language that's hard to say, that real English-type language. Is thy a Christian? It's probably how they said it, because that's how they talked. And so he says, no, I am not. But here's the thing. A.T. Schofield had grown up hearing the gospel. He had grown up learning all kinds of verses. He was taught the Bible, but he had never received Jesus as his Savior. And so that night, he had a cold. A.T. Schofield had a little bit of a cold. And so the young man that was in the room with him went down to what they called the teacher. They called him a master. And they went down and they had supper and they had a time with the master. And so he comes back up. And A.T. can't sleep. He's wrestling in his mind about that question. He's thinking, this guy is in the right, and I'm in the wrong, because I've never took care of that. But he didn't know how to ask about it. He wanted to know more, but he couldn't sleep. So the other man, he gets on his knees, and young man, and he prays, and he goes to bed, and he's fast asleep. A.T. Schofield still can't sleep. About 2 o'clock in the morning, A.T. is wrestling with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is speaking to his heart, reminding him of those verses. And A.T. Schofield sits up in his bed, gets on his knees in his bed. And he says, and it's Romans 10, 8 through 10, or 9 and 10 actually. And he believes from his heart unto righteousness. And he says, Jesus, I believe. And he accepts Christ as his Savior right there on the bed. And there's nobody to coach him, nobody to help him. He doesn't wake the young man up. And he just feels this peace overwhelming. Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe that you're God, and I believe that I have not took the medicine. The medicine has been sitting right there all alone, but I have not drank it. I've not received it in belief and faith. I've just observed it sitting on the table. That's how his mind worked. So he took, by faith, Jesus Christ. Well, the next morning, he's tired, but he goes downstairs, and everybody's gathering. And the master, remember when the young man that night before had gone on down and he had to stay upstairs because of his cold? Well, that young man shared with the master and the other students that A.T. wasn't a Christian. And so they prayed for him while he's still up there in bed that night that he would come to know the Lord. And so the master says, I am so sorry that you're not a Christian, A.T. Can I talk to you about it? And A.T. didn't know what to say. He knew what happened in his heart that night. And then it dawned on him that scripture, believe into the heart unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he looked at the master and he says, sir, last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Does that make me ready to be a Christian? And he said, it certainly does. And he said, at that, I felt a peace and a joy indescribable. That's the question today. Have you took the medicine? Do you have hope beyond the grave? Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ face to face? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. You may be in here today and maybe you haven't given your heart to Christ, or maybe you're feeling convicted to confess Him and to make Him public, or to confess Him in the privacy of where you sit. You can say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you were there in Genesis chapter 1 when all things were created. I believe that you are the Word that became flesh, and that you were there in John chapter 1 as Creator. And I believe that you left heaven as God and you became a man, yet without my bloodline, but with God's bloodline. And that you lived for 33 years the life that I could not live. You lived it perfectly without one sin. You stood in my place. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And Lord, I admit today that I am a sinner. I come to you just as I am, just as I, with all of my guilt, with all of my shame, with all of my sin, I give you my heart today, Lord. And I ask you to forgive me for all eternity. Come into my heart. Change me. Give me a new nature. And help me to live for you, Lord Jesus. I confess my sin. I come to you just as I am. Clean me up because I can't do it. Forgive me because I can't do it. Give me eternal life because I can't do it. Lord, I'll follow you the rest of my life. Would you invite Jesus into your heart? Or maybe you're in here today and you're a believer, but you're afraid of death. You're afraid of what's next. You can trust the same faith that delivered you from the darkness. You can trust with the same faith the one who will deliver you into glory at the moment you take your last breath. Lord, we thank you for that hope beyond the grave. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand, please.
Without him, I could. Ship without a sail.
Amen. Would y'all be seated just for a moment? And here in just a minute, Cliff, I'm going to ask you to pray. And if you don't mind, Cliff, when you pray, bless the food. That way we can go right on in to eat, and it'll be a little bit easier. Please stay and eat if you can. Dana has really worked hard on the chicken spaghetti. It looks real good. I've already seen it. I asked for a little bit to put in the pulpit, and I was going to ask for somebody to pray a long prayer, but I thought that might not be right. I want to ask if Randy and Julie, if y'all could come up. Randy and Julie, if you live in the Garden Valley community, you probably have met them. I know they're pretty close neighbors to Kevin and Julie, and they've been visiting for some time, and they said that we want to come today and join Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. They will be coming by letter from Forney Baptist Church there in Forney, and we have some folks that have relatives in Forney, Winford and Sarah Stone, and so we're glad that they're here. They love the Lord. They've both been born again, and they're just coming and saying, we want to make Mount Sylvan our church home. And if you would give them a hearty amen to make Mount Sylvan their home, would you do that? Amen. And we'll just ask y'all to stand up here. And Julie, if you don't mind, if you'll come down here and stand with them. I know they're friends of y'all's, neighbors of y'all's. And this is Randy and Julie Bradshaw. Randy and Julie Bradshaw. Thank y'all so much for being here today. And Cliff, if you'll close us with a prayer and come by and see the Bradshaws on your way to the E&A building. Thank you.